Image 1.
1. The church. Good day to you. A heartfelt welcome to Shoreham and my Valley of Vision. A valley, one of my friends observed, so hidden it seemed as if the devil had not yet found it out. Many years have passed since I left Shoreham and returned to London, but it was here I spent some of the happiest years of my life and painted what people now say were my most exciting and original works. Who better then than I to act as your guide and to tell you all about the time I spent here in my 20s and the paintings this enchanting landscape inspired. It is no coincidence that we're starting here at the church, for I was an intensely religious man. My parents and nurse were all Baptists, but from a young age I felt drawn to the buildings and traditions of the Church of England, and this is where I worshipped when I lived in the village between 1826 and 1834. You will see how church spires in particular, representing as they do the divine connection between earth and heaven, can be found again and again in my paintings. I was born in London, just off the Old Kent Road, so I cannot claim to be a countryman. But I developed a great love of nature on boyhood walks with my father, who was a bookseller by profession. He would take me down to the beautiful meadows and orchards of Dulwich, quoting from poetry and the scriptures as we went. Having shown signs of an artistic bent at an early age, a painting tutor was engaged for me. I was taught how to create watercolours according to the naturalistic conventions of the day, and by the time I was 14, I had exhibited at both the Royal Academy and the British Institution.
Image 2.
Here's a drawing of me aged 14, made by my friend Henry Walter.
Image 3.
I made this study of old buildings at Battersea when I was 16, and it is typical of the kind of work I was making at the time. But despite this early success, I became dissatisfied with my efforts and began to lose my way, wondering if painting was really for me. It was then, as fortune would have it, that I met the painter John Linnell. He took me under his wing, urged me to make close observational drawings from nature and to pay particular attention to trees. I remember describing him then as my good angel from heaven who rescued me from the pit of modern art. It was he who introduced me to the woodcuts of Dürer and the work of other Northern Renaissance painters such as Van Eyck.
Images 4.
With their use of strong line and well-defined detail, they were much more to my taste than the sky sloppers and bush blotters of contemporary watercolour painting. And their work seemed to reflect a spiritual intensity that I felt was so lacking in my own materialistic age. Most importantly, in October of 1824, he introduced me to the artist and poet William Blake. I will never forget that first meeting. He fixed his grey eyes upon me and asked, "Do you work with fear and trembling?"
Image 5.
If you look at my self-portrait here, I think you will guess what my answer was. "Then," said he, "you'll do." Mr. Blake was a visionary, and since my childhood, I too had experienced visions, moments of intense trance-like connection with nature, when it seemed as if a veil had been lifted and I could see the heavens beyond. Mr. Blake gave me the confidence to leave my conventional landscapes behind and try instead to capture some of these moments of heightened perception.
Image 6.
This was one of the engravings that I saw on my first visit to Fountain Court, where Mr. Blake lodged. It is an image of Job and his family sitting under a tree praying. The sheep resting in the foreground, the last rays of sun going down behind a large church, and the rising moon glimmering in the sky were some of the pastoral motifs that would preoccupy me for the next 10 years. But it was a set of tiny woodcuts, illustrations of Virgil's eclogues for schoolchildren, that particularly entranced me.
Image 7.
I described them as visions of little dells, nooks, corners of paradise, models of the exquisitest sense of poetry. And I went about trying to get some of that poetic and shimmering light into my own work. Here is one of the paintings I made soon afterwards.
Image 8.
It looks like an engraving, doesn't it? Following the example of Mr. Blake, I began to experiment with my materials, and I made these images with sepia ink mixed with varying amounts of gum arabic, after which I applied layers of varnish. I was developing my own style, using strong outlines, exploring pattern and design, and finding ways to create textural effects. Look how all the darks in this painting are created by a concentration of marks made with a pen rather than with a brush wash. Most people at the time dismissed Mr. Blake as a madman. Those of us who met together in his two rooms off the Strand were united in our fervent admiration for him and his work. We called ourselves the Ancients, and we were the first artistic brotherhood in the country, at least 20 years before the Pre-Raphaelites got together. The Ancients, rather an absurd name for a group of lads mostly in our early 20s or even younger. My cousin John Giles came up with the title because of our habit of harking back to ancient times, the medieval era especially, when, it seemed to us, everything was purer and more spiritual. The past was for poets, the present for pigs. That is what we believed. There were 8 of us in all. Francis Oliver Finch, Henry Walter, a friend since childhood, Edward Calvert, and of course, George Richmond. We were not all painters. Frederick Tatham was a sculptor, Welby Sherman a printmaker, Cousin John a stockbroker, and Fred's brother was up at Cambridge training to be a clergyman. But, as Calvert used to say, we were brothers in art, brothers in love, and brothers for which art and love subsist, the ideal, the kingdom within. London was proving bad for my health, as I suffered from asthma. So when my grandfather died, leaving me with a legacy of £3,000, I conceived a plan of leaving London, that great national dust hole, and going to live in Shoreham, a place I had fallen in love with on an earlier visit with my father, who, as a lay minister, came to preach down here. Well, that's quite enough reminiscing for the time being. When you are ready, let our walk begin.